about the Holy Spirit. And we're sort of in the starts of that. But it's really quite an exciting journey for us as a church, in that we really are wanting to see the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us, and to see the gifts of the Spirit really more in operation in our church as well. And that really is our heart. And today I'm going to be talking about this theme, Transformed by the Spirit. And it is just really interesting to hear what Renee shared earlier and the interpretation of that picture about the milk getting separated out. And just really that God's wanting to bring out the best in us. And a lot of what I'm going to be sharing about today is that transforming process, taking from milk and bringing out the best in us as we follow Jesus, and so as we transform by His Spirit. So just in preparing for today, what I landed up doing is spending a lot of time just dwelling on the parables about the kingdom of God. And some of you guys might be good at words. When it comes to me and trying to understand things, I really understand things best in pictures. It could be a graphic or kind of putting things together in a word puzzle or something, just to see how things connect together. And for me, just the parables in the Bible are just such an amazing way of us getting a practical hands-on view of what following Jesus really looks like. So the first scripture I want to read is from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. Pam's reminding me I'm the one who's driving the show here. Yeah, so just give us a sec, guys. We're just sorting out some technical things. Okay, there we go. So 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It is living by God's power." So the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It is living by God's power. And often when I think about the kingdom of God, there's so much that is said about the kingdom of God that it can get a little bit confusing for me. There's so much. But if you read this verse, it's really about living by God's power. So if you take that into layman's terms then, the kingdom of God is really the practical outworking of God's Spirit in our lives. So as the Spirit of God works in our lives, God's kingdom essentially comes in and through us. Okay. Okay, so really what I want to talk about today in these pictures that we're going to be going through, and it's a number of parables that I'll be talking about, is what does that look like in practice? What does it look like to see God's kingdom come in us and for God's Spirit to really be at work in our lives? Pam, are you able to click things that side to make it move forward? Not. Okay, we're having some problems trying to move things forward, so... Yeah, would you mind, Tones? Okay, so hopefully you're going to be able to move along. Otherwise, we're going to have to make a different plan with a PowerPoint, I think, Pam. All right, but while we're waiting for that PowerPoint to come up, Irvin spoke about 2 or 3 weeks ago with one picture about the grapevine. And I think the grapevine is one of the pictures that is probably... most of us would know very well around us being grafted into the vine. And as we grafted into the vine and the sap of the vine comes and works through us, suddenly these grapes get born on the vine, and equally in us, these grapes or this fruit gets born in our lives. And that really is the starting picture I wanted to start with, that really what's so amazing about that is, first of all, that each of those vines in that picture has been grafted in. So we were never part of Jesus before we came to believe in Him. Now we're part of that vine, and as long as we are staying and abiding in that vine, fruitfulness is going to come. And this picture is one of great fruitfulness. And like the butter, God's really wanting to see lots of fruit come in each of our lives. Thanks, Pam. And just the word that really just struck home with me after Evan's message was this word abide. Abide or remain, and what does that mean? So if we want to see this fruitfulness come in our lives, what is it we have to do? We have to abide. And interestingly, abide is not a doing thing. It's not a running around and getting things done. The definition says accept or act in accordance with either a rule, a decision, or a recommendation. But I just loved all these synonyms because it really, for me, gave me a picture of what it means to abide. So it means to comply with, to obey, to observe, to follow, to keep to to hold to conform to adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance with, to uphold, to heed, to pay attention to agree with, to consent to accede to accept, to acquiesce in, to go along with, to acknowledge, respect, and defer to. So I mean, there are a lot of words there, but even if you can just pull out one or two of those, it'll help you make it clear, what does it mean to abide? And it's to choose. It's to choose to stay connected to Jesus. But there are a whole range of other metaphors that I want to go through now, and it's about this thing of how do we move from a place where we've just been grafted in to a place of fruitfulness. And we understand that the kingdom of God is when God's Holy Spirit comes in us and brings this fruitfulness about. So let's go to the next one. And this verse is from Proverbs 4, verse 18. And it says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And again, what I just love about that is as you watch the sunrise, when you first step outside, maybe Greg, when you're going fishing early in the morning for shad, or Phil, I don't know if you also like fishing, Greg, but I know Phil loves it. So if you're getting out early, it's dark, you're waiting for the sun to rise, you can't see anything. You're walking on the rocks and you're clambering around, you probably need a torch. But as the sun starts coming up, things start to be revealed. There's a growing light. And really, that's what this kingdom of God is supposed to be like in us. It's supposed to be going from something small to something amazing, like a sunset in the full light of day. Right, the next one is from Mark 4:26-29. So Jesus is speaking. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And it just talks about that mystery. Like when a farmer plants something, he wakes up the next day and suddenly something is there. And a few days later, suddenly this amazing plant has grown, and now there's this head with this amazing fruitfulness on it. And it's really the work of God's Spirit is mysterious. And it's through a Spirit that we're meant to grow from a little seed through to a plant. So again, this process of journey, of transformation, is just so central to what the Spirit does in our lives. Another one from Matthew 13:31-32. He told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seed, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants, and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. So again, the progression is clear. This thing of starting off small and growing bigger and bigger. So I think in terms of our relationship with the Lord, it's not meant to be, it's not a static thing as now we believe in Jesus and that's it. There's this whole journey of sanctification, as Tones was telling us about. There's this bringing out of the butter and the cream in us as we keep on walking with the Lord and the Spirit's at work in us. And the next one from Matthew 13:33. This is maybe for the women. I think the other ones were more for farmers and the guys. He told him still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And just the picture there again of something small coming and transforming something as that bread gets prepared for going in the oven. So can you see this progression? I think that's really what I'm trying to show, is that this real progression. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And for the Holy Spirit to be at work in us is to see transformation happening in our lives. All right, so I want to dwell on the final metaphor, as it were, which comes from a vision that Ezekiel had in Ezekiel 47. And going back in terms of the context, the Israelites had recently, they'd been battling with the Babylonians, and half the Israelite nation, or a large portion of them, had been taken away into exile. And Ezekiel was one of these guys. So he was a prophet. He was now sitting in Babylon. And through Ezekiel, we read how he has these amazing visions of God's judgment coming on Israel and these predictions that the temple would be destroyed. And then while he's in Babylon, the temple gets destroyed. And this is terrible for Israel. Not only have they been defeated, but the temple, which represents God with his people, is now gone. And in the midst of that, he gets this vision, and it's you could call it a vision of living waters. And I want to spend some time just going through this vision with you today, because for me it just gives another amazing representation of what God's Spirit working in us is supposed to look like. Okay, so let's read it together. It's Ezekiel 47:1-12. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then let me cross. So he's walking across the stream now. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. So just really just up to there, can you see this change? It starts off small, this river, and it's getting deeper and deeper as he walks. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. So he's turning around now and walking back the way he's come. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of the stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea." All the way from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, the shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for the food and leaves for the healing. Thanks, Pam. So just an amazing picture, isn't it? And I was just really just captivated by this picture of, again, I think the main feature for me was this journey of transformation, of things going from small to big. And just that picture that you can see there is the temple in the background near the mountain. It starts off small, that river, and as it goes along, it gets bigger and bigger. And just along those banks, there's trees growing, and they're not just normal trees, they're fruit trees, bearing an amazing crop. So I just want to go through different elements of that journey, and you'll see I've got some little icons along at the bottom there. And I just want to talk to each of them and just explain how I believe that translates not only to an Old Testament vision, but really around how that's supposed to be an outworking, an illustration of our lives as a church today as well. Okay, so I'd like to start off with the temple. And that's where this whole vision started. It started off with the temple. And I think if you think about the temple in the Old Testament, what was it? What is it a representation of? What is the temple a representation of in the Old Testament? Anyone want to have a go at that? So it's about God's presence with his people, right? So that's what it was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament here, we don't have a temple here with us. We don't have to go and worship at the temple anymore. But you read in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you? So if you take this picture, really the temple in this picture could be us. It could be us together. And 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So for us, the start of this journey is essentially us coming to Jesus and asking him into our lives. And as he comes into our lives, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then it's what happens then. There's a transforming journey that then starts at that point when we become the temple of God. And together, we are the temple of God. All right, so then talking about the river, I'm going to read from John 7, 37 to 39, because there's just such amazing parallels in the New Testament that we read. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, and this is important here, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So the river is talking about the Spirit of God, right? It's about the Spirit of God flowing out and working in and through us as we follow him. All right, so moving past the temple, and we see this river starting to flow. The next thing that Ezekiel walks past is the altar. As he left the temple, he walked past the altar. And again, if we think about the altar in the Old Testament, amazing symbology, we always think of what? Sacrifice, right? It's where sacrifices took place. And I think what is just so important for me, if we take our journey with the Lord, we also are on a journey of sacrifice. Jesus has made a sacrifice, but there's also a sacrifice that we need to commit to make as well. And if you read Romans 6, 1 to 4, it talks about that. Well, then shall we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died, and we're buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So really for us, baptism is a symbol of our commitment to die to self. It's saying, Jesus, I'm choosing to follow you. I'm choosing to sacrifice my life and give it over to you. So in a similar way, almost if we're going to get into this river, if we're going to see this river get deeper and deeper in our lives, we're going to see the outworking. An initial step we've got to take is to be willing to be baptized and confess to others that this is the choice that we've made. So I don't know if all of you here have been baptized, but if you want to see this transformation in your life, we need to make steps to commit to do what God calls us to do. And that's one just very practical thing. If you haven't been baptized, Jesus says, be baptized. That's a calling for you. So don't say it's something that, you know, I can do one day. Jesus calls us, once we believe, to be baptized. It's part of the journey. Right, then the next thing that I just found quite fascinating was the depth of the river. And you'll see it started out small, and as it went along, it got deeper and deeper. So if we read from Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So really there's a call for us to offer our bodies and to go deeper. Sacrifice is something, I guess, in us, it's a little bit at a time. But really God's calling us to go deeper and deeper in our relationship with him as we sacrifice ourselves and say, "Jesus, won't you be the one who's leading me?" I mean, if you look at those other examples that I went through earlier about the grapes, about the seeds growing, all of those show this progression from small to big. And that's really what God's wanting to see. He's wanting us to go deeper. He's wanting us to grow more. He's wanting to see that cream being shown in us as we're following Jesus. You know, I think what's amazing as well is just having a look at the effects of the river. So you'll see when he looked back, suddenly he saw something amazing along the river. It says, "When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river." And I was a bit surprised reading that, because surely if he's walked along the river, he's seen the fruit, he's seen the trees. But somehow in his vision, he'd walked along the river and he'd seen the water, but he hadn't seen the trees. And just the thought is that maybe in our lives we keep being told that we need to be fruitful. You kind of keep running after, what must I do? And we don't see those things maybe, or we're trying to do a lot. But for me, in looking back, suddenly the fruit is there. So I guess the parallel that I'd like to draw is that as we call to follow Jesus and as we follow Jesus in the Holy Spirit, we should look back and there should be fruit. It's not like we can grow the fruit by ourselves. As we walk our lives, we look back and there should be fruitfulness. And more as we follow Jesus. So that's quite an amazing picture for me, that it's not just about us trying to grow things. It's us following the Holy Spirit. And that fruitfulness will come. And then the next section says that the fruit trees of all kind will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on the branches. And that's amazing as well. It's not like our seasons here, especially in Hilton, where in winter there's not much fruit around. There's not much leaves around often too. But this promise here is that with the Holy Spirit at work in and through us, there's a lasting nature to that fruit. His water we don't get winters. We shouldn't be getting winters in our lives. God's Holy Spirit is always there to nurture us and grow this fruit in us. And the final part of that verse says, the fruit will be for food and leaves for healing. And I think if we think about fruit, often we might think of our walk with Jesus as a bit selfish. But really the fruit of our lives is actually to be a blessing for others. And that's really why God's working in us. He wants to see us living in a way that for him, that's a blessing to everyone around us. So in the same way that the leaves were for healing and the fruit were for people, the fruit in our lives is really for our communities and how we influence them and bless them in the way we live. Okay, and then the next element is really around the growth, the fruitfulness, and the blessings for others that come. And I've started talking about that already. But Psalm 1, 1-3 says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. But those whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Isn't that the same picture? The same picture of this amazing tree that's perennially fruitful is the same picture as someone who delights in the law of the Lord. So that's also something practical that we can do. Sometimes it's quite hard to grab hold of what it means to follow God's Spirit. But it's in following, spending time in God's Word and asking Him to reveal that to us, that the fruitfulness will also start to come in our lives. Okay, and then the final element that I'm wanting to share is around the purification and life that this river brings. So you remember in that picture, it talked about where the river ended up and the fishing that sort of happened around the Dead Sea. So the waters of the stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. Now, I've never been to Israel. I don't know if anyone's been to the Dead Sea before. Anyone here? Okay, apparently it's just terribly salty and you can float in it, but there are not many fish that would live in there. Okay, so it really is a terribly salty place with no life. And I was looking on the internet and preparing, and really it seems like a very desolate place with lots of salt around the edges and just not a very productive place. And this talks about the Dead Sea, probably one of the saltiest seas in the world, becoming fresh. And just this amazing abundance that happens around it. There will be swarms of living things wherever the waters of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. So I think in us, if we think about what it means in this context, the Dead Sea, I would say you could look at that as being the sin that sort of diffuses throughout our lives. I mean, I think all of us would love to say that I'm holy, I'm sanctified, but none of us are. We are all far from living the life that Jesus wants us to. And I think often we're quite disappointed by the failures in our own lives. But I think what this parable is saying is that as the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, and we allow His Holy Spirit to work in us, we're going to become less and less salty or less and less sinful in this sense. So that's the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. He wants to transform us to be more and more like Jesus and to have this fruitfulness that comes from following Jesus. Okay, so just to conclude then, maybe just to first ask, where are you on this journey? So there's a progression that I spoke about from the temple, past the altar, and then going along down this river. Have you made a commitment to Jesus yet? Do you know that have you accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life? If you want to experience anything of this river, it starts off with asking Jesus into your life. So if you haven't done that, that's really where it needs to start. And then I think also, as you would have seen, Ezekiel went past this altar where there was sacrifice that was made, where there was a commitment made. And we're called to each get baptized. And if any of you haven't been baptized, just the call, guys, we're called to do that. It's a commandment for us to do. So if you haven't been baptized, won't you really just pray about that? And maybe not just pray about it, act on it. We're called to act on that and to be baptized. And then for those of us that are on the journey, I think the encouragement is to not lose heart. Maybe if you're looking around and saying, well, all I see in front of me is a puddle. Or maybe I can just see, maybe just my ankles are getting wet and I kind of know God, but I'm feeling far from him. He's really calling us to keep on drawing close to him and to keep taking steps to ask the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And, you know, if I looked at that picture, I certainly can't say I'm swimming. I'd love to say I'm totally swimming and, you know, I'm living exactly how God wants me to. I can't say that, but I want to get there. And I think we're on a journey together to try and be in that place where really God's Holy Spirit is guiding us and allowing us to be more and more of a blessing to each other and to this congregation that we live in. So won't you guys commit to keep walking and to step deeper into what Christ has for you? Okay, I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you so much for your word and these pictures that can make clear things that are sometimes quite confusing to us. And Lord Jesus, what we see from this vision that Ezekiel has is just an amazing impact that your Holy Spirit can have on us. And Lord, sometimes when we look at our lives, we don't see much fruit and we long for more. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would place in us a longing to follow you more and to see more and more fruitfulness in our lives. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that for each of us that you would draw us deeper. Please, Holy Spirit, help us to take steps that get us deeper into your Spirit. And Lord, by abiding, by trusting, by following you, we know that this growth, this blessing is going to come. So we pray for that. I pray for that for this church, Lord Jesus, and for each one here, that we would take steps towards you, that we would spend time in your word, Lord, and as you do that, that you would really just bring about this growth and this blessing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks. Let's just continue for one more minute in an attitude of prayer. So let's bow our heads as we close. Father, we thank you so much that you are here today with us, Holy Spirit, that you dwelt here and you've spoken clearly to us through your word and through the many other messages that you've given us in worship and through prophecy. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us, you're faithful to us, and yet you are going to be with us as we go. So will you be close to us this week, Lord. Fill us with a sense of your presence and your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you everyone for attending. Please join us for tea and coffee out on the veranda.